Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I'm deep in, lot of slime. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of time. Pockets running over.
5 of 4 from John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo, a.k.a. Prime, and Mr. Damn Skiffy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas. And today we're talking about a little press conference, between Howie and Nick. You know, Howie and Nick both spoke in Eagles fan fashion. Eagle fans will take every single word to the bank and have comments, they have ideas, they have theories and breakdowns about what transpired through the season. Shout out to Lil Gio out there leading off the press conferences, going right for the jugular. I like to see that. But I feel like, at the end of the day, what I like to see, I try to pull little things from the presser, see if they slip. That's my fun part. If they actually say something real, or say something with their chest that they weren't supposed to say, or if some of their thoughts and ideas were not on the same page. But you know how Eagle fans like look for stuff. You know how media looks for stuff. We're also going to talk about the AJ Brown situation with WIP and get Hollis's point on that when we get a chance. But Evan, how did you feel about that little presser? Did it move the needle for you? You feel rejuvenated?
It felt like a lot of corpo talk, bro. I came from a working in a corporation all day today, and I hear that BS in email. I hear it in team meetings all day long, and I tune in to the press conference, and it felt like more of that. It felt like you're just trying to say the right thing and trying to not show your hand as far as what your plan, what you want to do, which I understand. You're playing a 4D chess game right now. You have to be ahead of your opponents as far as, what decisions you want to make. You don't want to let them know as far as what direction you want to be heading in. Mark pretty much hits the nail on the head here. It felt like a lot of smoke and mirrors to me. That's how I felt after that.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, it definitely was a chess game, and I, for the love of God, don't know how to play chess for shit. So, I could teach you.
I'm down,
but that's how I looked at it. I'm playing the guessing game, and yeah, this is that time of the year. Well, this is that event where, bullshit comes out. Bullshit with a capital B. You just want to go ahead and just say whatever the media wants you to say, or, you want to give the people what they want to hear. And, in reality, we just don't know what really is going to go on, what their moves are going to be. Shout out to Gio, definitely starting off the conference with the questions and everything. And, he tried to touch upon some of our concerns, like Reddick. the whole AJ, what happened with the squad, you know, the Bradberry still being a part of our roster for the time. Yeah, I mean, it was all right until he got to that point, and then it was just like, I'm going to hear like about 5 more minutes of this shit, and then I got to shut it off. And my ears were just like aching, so I was just like, oh, but yeah, I'm with you, bro. I mean, this is that time of the year, yeah, I mean, we're, yeah, you're just going to sit here and just wonder what the hell, what moves we're going to be making, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I was, I didn't really, I saw it, and I just turned it on mute because, like you guys, like each one of you guys said, they don't want to tell nobody what they're doing. It's kind of like the one time when I was in this movie, it was horrible. It was like they were saying that they were going to trade me. They waited up until the second day of the damn draft to trade me. I was like, but they told me at the end of the football season that they were going to trade me. And I was like, okay. So and the whole time, like the kid feels, wondering where the hell you're going, because you want to get settled. As a player, you want to get settled. The most jacked up part is I think throughout the whole ordeal, and I think I'm glad that he addressed the AJ Brown thing, because right now we're living in the days where media doesn't have to answer for their transgressions, where they don't have to answer for just putting shit out there into the universe that has no merit, as like that has nothing, that has no validity. And I thought it was over after I saw AJ Brown on TV, and they said, "Did you hear about you getting traded?" He's like, "Nope." He dispelled the whole thing because he hadn't heard nothing. And then you turn around, and on top of that, the Hassan Reddick thing. I'm like, "What the hell?" I was like, "Nobody is being held accountable for this stupid stuff that we're a lot of stupid people to get in our head." Because as an Eagles fan, the first thing you said is, "What?" Because it's two really good players that are a big part of our squad. And we want to know what the hell is going on. And the first thing we do is click, and then we see, and this is a word to the wise too, because I used to click and do the same thing. Like, oh, what the? And it's like, sources tell me. So who the fuck is your source? Because when somebody tells you something, you want to know where it came from, because you want to know how much weight it holds. And I think that's being on this side is more nerve wracking than actually being in the mix, man. Because it's like you hear stuff, and you're like, man, it can't be true. It can't be true. And then they start talking about it, and they start making like, and it's just, they be just making stuff up, man. And I just get sick of it. That's why I hit the mute button. I have them on TV. I'm wait. My thing right now is the physical part of the combine. I didn't get with you guys on the with my free agent wish list, because I went through all the litany of free agents. Yeah, I just had one question. When I was going through the top 200 free agents, how the hell is Kirk Cousins like number 2 and he's coming off of Achilles tendon tear? That was the only part. I was like, Kirk Cousins, really?
I think he got friends that are authors over there, but to keep him up hype, I did trash his sneakers. I saw him doing his little pat. I was like, come on, man, you need some better kicks.
He got grills too, bro.
Does he? Yeah. He's pandering, but talk about this combine, this presser. Then we'll get into the. I do want to talk about AJ Brown and a couple other things. But I think the Hassan Reddick thing. I think in pre-show I had asked Hollis about you know, looking at a player like Hassan Reddick, a candid native, a Temple native. This is two things that hold near and dear to Prime and Evan. The fact that he's a local, not complaining, outperforms his contract. You know, that was a question that was asked about, and it was kind of really vague. Now, from a locker room standpoint, if you saw a player put up those kind of numbers, be very productive, not raise any issues in the locker room, and then they don't reward him, would that, as a player in a locker room, would you feel a certain way about that?
I would feel a certain way. I don't mean to cut you off, but I also think that there is an element too that we're not thinking about, which is outside the locker room as well. I mean, you look at teams that there's guys we listed off some free agents. We talked about it in the previous show, and we are continually a team that does not reward guys that are in make it or break it contracts. We do it with running backs. We could do it all the way as far back as I know it happened before this, but one that really sticks out for me is the Jeremy Maclin one back in the day. Yeah. Jeremy Maclin, he was on a prove it deal, and then he proved it. He did well. And then we didn't want to buck up an extra $2 million, and the Chiefs took him. Yeah. So I think it's not only the players that are in the locker room that are feeling this. I'm saying it's also, I think that there's potential free agents that are looking at this and thinking, you know, if they're telling me prove it, I don't really know if I could believe it.
Now, Ev, you do remember that when Jeremy Maclin took that deal, they released him after Big Red went to his wedding. Now the one thing about this deal is you can look at it twofold. You play devil's advocate and say, okay, he's a one-trick pony. When you look at the film, a lot of times he wasn't setting the edge versus the run and stuff, and he benefited. I feel like he still benefits. He's a great pass rusher. I was like, but he's stopping the run, and then he can't drop either. I was like, but he's pretty much a one-trick pony. So, and I think he knows that too, and I think he's going to just do better at that. And it's not really a proven deal. He's going to count like $15 million against the cap. So it's not. It's like, even though that it's kind of what you signed. And I love the fact that he said, it's what I signed. He said, I'm willing to play this out to see what I could get. And that's what you expect from your player. Now, on the reward part, now, had he just been like a force to be reckoned with and just like turned it up and just turned it, he was turning it up a little bit. But when they ran the ball on the edge, that's the main thing. When they come to you, it's going to be almost, and I saw that, and I don't know if I remember. If I told you guys the story about when Simeon Rice had all those sacks and he wanted $100 million like Brett Favre had just got, and he went to the Giants, and I actually knew the GM there. He told me he put the tape on of him just running upfield and not disregarding everybody running by him. It's like, you think that's worth $100 million? It's like, so I think Hassan is going to build his resume a little bit more. So when he does come to the table, it will benefit him more. And he's already said he wants to be here. He loves it. He loves playing at home. He couldn't think of nowhere else to be. So he's already laid the tracks. Now all he has to do is come out and flourish in a Vic Fangio's defense. I didn't get to ask you guys how you guys felt about Vic Fangio being back.
I'm on board. I mean, if I'm comparing to I'm simply comparing it, Hollis, to last year's squad that we went into it with, because I looked at last year and I was hoping that we were going to win, in spite of the coaches.
Right.
I saw our roster. It looked super talented. I thought that talent on the roster would be able to carry us. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we had coordinators that were learning on the job.
Yeah.
So now that we have guys that are established, have proven themselves in the NFL, I feel more confident with them as the coordinator.
Cool. Now, one thing – go ahead, Brian. I'm bad. Sorry.
You say, you know, I mean, the first of all, I just want to go ahead and definitely address the fact that how Hassan has – handling this situation is where he has like my utmost respect. He could be that player. He could be that guy that just go ahead and start, you know, acting up, but he's not. He's, you know, he's trying to keep a positive attitude, and the love he has for the city, his hometown, you know, Temple grad, all that stuff, that plays a factor. You know, I mean, he has his family around here. So, you know, he wants to be around here just as much. I mean, listen, it definitely all starts with like what Howie had mentioned in that press conference. It's all about the communication he has with his players. And I really feel like, you know, the way Hassan's been, I think they could go ahead and communicate very well, and they could definitely come up with agreement, especially with the expand of, you know, the money that the whole league is getting this year, you know what I mean? So I think eventually, you know what I mean, they could go ahead and figure something out. Now, I know he's going to be turning 30 this year, but, yo, listen, man, that's just a number. Like, that kid is still a stud. He's still in great shape. He's still doing his thing. I know you mentioned Simeon Rice. You absolutely like. I remember that. I remember when the fact that he tried to approach $100 million contract, and that tape came out how he was just a straight up runner up the field. Other than that, he really wasn't doing, you know, that much work. And you know, the question was asked: is that worth $100 mil? Hassan, you know, we're talking about somebody different. Hassan definitely he plays the part, and you know, he definitely has a whole lot on his resume. So, I mean, I know you're saying he's going to build up his resume. I totally agree. Depending on how he goes into this year and how they go ahead and work this thing out, I think he's going to go ahead and prove that, you know what I mean, he's definitely worth that contract.
So are we team pay Hassan?
Yeah.
I am.
Now, But the one thing that, and this is why I know they're probably going to rework his deal because of the cap hit right there. And when they rework his deal, he's going to add a few years and just give him some money up front, because the main thing is the guaranteed money. And so somebody is like, zero money guaranteed. The cap hit, I think, is where they want to lower his cap number so that he'll be cap friendly, so they can get more players to get more players under the cap. The one thing that I don't know if anybody realized. I don't know. I mentioned it when I was doing Merle Reese's show. They was asking what's wrong with Sweat. And I told him it was three things wrong. It was three things wrong with Sweat. We're missing Hargrave. We were missing Hargrave, missing Ndamukong Suh, and Linval Joseph. Mm. I was like, well, those guys, that interior pressure, it means a lot to that edge guy. And if you don't have that pressure, the guys can step up and get on the move. And I think we depended on the young guys kind of too early a little bit. And you know, it reared its ugly head, especially with the debacle of what we'll call a coordinator. Do you know he got a job with the Rams?
I'm real, man.
Did you hear me? You hear me, Prime? He got a job with the Rams.
He'll be actually working.
Not even as the equipment manager, like an actual role job.
He's working with the offense and the defense with the Rams.
Before we go any further, can we just address the fact that Gail's wearing a MILF's shirt? What is that? I say MILF's.
Come on, man. Reading's fundamental.
Okay. I mean, the bottom of the E was cut off, man.
Okay, I was going to say MILF. I was.
That looks like MILF's, does it not? Yeah, from that angle.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Going he has ball. No.
We see where your mind's at.
I see where your shirt's at right now.
Say what's up to Miles Davis. All right. See.
Whoa. Put it back. I just put the Miles part up there. I didn't know he was in the tub.
He's not. He's in a boxing ring. These guys, bro. You guys need to get out more. But talking about, you mentioned some of the younger guys in the presser today.
Right.
They kind of alluded to some of the younger guys getting opportunities to play. As you know, it's like first round you around here. Like, if you're a first rounder, you get a nice freshman season, redshirt season over here. Do you think it's time to start playing some of these younger players off the rip? You know, we want to see Sidney Brown a little bit earlier this season.
It's two ways you can look at that. The player has to want to play, and when I say want to play, he has to. The one thing that when I first got here, I had some good athletic ability, but it was one time that I was in the huddle, and then I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do on one of the zone blitzes, and the coach came to me saying, "I don't give a damn how talented you are. If you don't know that MF and playbook, We can't put your ass out there. We can't trust you." Because there was one dude that they kept me and another guy from Grambling, had the best athletic ability known to man. 6'4", 300 pounds, dumping in a bag of rocks. Never got any playing time. So I think it's on the players when they. That's why you saw them gradually bring Sidney along, because he started getting it quicker, but then the other guys, they started bringing the other guys along. I think it has to do. We're probably in the coaching too. That's why we got the coaches that we got to teach better.
So I want to make sure that I understood your question correct. Were you talking about like their first year coming into the league, or like this?
Yeah, I say first year coming in the league, because I mean, if you look around the league, a lot of these guys get on the field faster than they do here, I think. Or there's a part where you throw some of these guys, you know, throw some of these guys to the fire, which is what they were talking about in the presser.
If they don't know what to do, Gail, then they're not. It's like, because it's one thing to get guys out there and have the athletic ability, but if you don't know where to go, you're gonna look like crap. And
I just feel like with the energy these Bulldogs, the Georgia's Bulldog players were coming into the league with last year, I don't know. Maybe I might be jumping the gun on this one, but I just felt like that was the time to go ahead and put these boys into the mix. They were hungry. I mean, they came out with that, that shape as college players, you know what I mean, going into the NFL. Like, so I think that was the best time to go ahead and see where they were at, see how far they could go. Then, you know what I mean, depending on if they're not playing that well, okay, you go back to the regular strategy that you were sticking with. But if these guys are going to hit and beast it out, then, you know, you took that chance and these guys, you know, showed what they were all about. So I think last year would have been the perfect time to go ahead and do that. I don't know so much this year because we know what Nolan Smith He has a shoulder injury. He has a shoulder problem. Don't know how long that's going to be lasting him. We know where N'Kobe Dean's at. Jordan Davis ended up, look to me, it looked like he was getting out of shape as the season progressed. And, you know, then Jalen was a dog, and they played him. They played him last year, at first year in the league. So that's what I'm talking about. So I don't know. But, I mean, depending on what we do in the draft this year and who's hungry, yeah, I think I'm all about go ahead and put those guys in as soon as possible.
The one it was one thing that you said there, Prime. When you put them in, you gotta put them in with something that they're comfortable with doing. It's like the what's that? See where Evan's mind is. no, but it's like to what you're saying, Prime. The part I'm talking about is they have to know what they're doing so you can get the best out of them. So I felt like we had a dumb coordinator who didn't know how to simplify things to let them go play. If you saw, you remember when our DBs were running into each other and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. I feel like this coach is going to keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. It's like, keep it simple and let them play, be players. Because you study long, you study wrong. He who hesitates masturbates.
So I got to ask for the comment section and for you guys as well. If there's one player on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball that this is like, you got to prove it to me this year. Who's the name that comes to mind?
Who's the player? Say that one more time.
Offensively and defensively, who is one player that, you know, two players that you need to, like, you had so much hope and potential of them joining the squad, whether it be through free agency or the draft. Mm-hmm. And now you need to see it. It needs to be the cash in here. For an example, just to say, Jordan Davis, I need to see. Yeah. He was drafted high. Man was taken in the top 15. And, you know, I had all the promise in the world when we got him. Listen, it's step up or shut up time, man, for Jordan Davis.
Right. But I'm not so much worried about Jordan Davis because we have other players that could fill in that gap. If there's one player that I want, N'Kobe Dean.
Yep.
I need N'Kobe Dean. I need all of N'Kobe Dean. I need that guy that I was on that floor chanting and souped up that we picked him when we picked him. And then you come out, you know what I mean, playing the way you're playing. I was the same guy that was at the autism and said, now we got a linebacker. And now, I mean, you can't even give me a full season. So it's just like, I need you to come through for me this year, big time. I need you to stay healthy, and I need you to do your thing.
Speaking of linebackers, we had Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Scheduled for a formal interview at the combine. Does that move a needle for y'all?
Like a mother sucker. Yeah.
Whether or not we end up getting them, I think it's a different story.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to tell them about my two players real quick. It would be Gainwell, but Quez Watkins and Bradbury, they ran me hot. Bradbury was, dude, I went to Seattle and to watch it. You was up there, Gil, and to watch the young guys put on the show the way that they did, and to watch Drew Lock come out and literally look for the 24 on that last drive every time. It was a revisit of when I was playing with the Saints and we had Jason David and he came out and he was looking for the 42 the whole time, Mark Bulger. But it's like, and the Quez Watkins thing, it's like we keep giving them chances. It's like, I can't see myself giving them chances.
I'm going to be real with you, Hollis. I think come training camp time, he's going to have an opportunity on another team. I don't even think he makes the squad.
I hope so. Well, it's like,
I asked you a question about, you know, you mentioned earlier about having, you know, Vic Fangio in here. Like I said, we have McDonald's, not McDowell's now. do you think this makes a difference for Bradbury being in a system where Vic Fangio put him in a place to succeed and not on an island on man coverage versus, you know, one of their twitchiest wide receivers in Seattle? Well, with no help over top.
Well, they were trying to hide his ass. It's like he lined up in the slot. Then he lined up on the outside. They were trying to hide his ass and keep him away. But I think Vic Fangio will run some things that confuses the opposing team, and it'll be a lot different. Put it that way. I was just watching some of the film that he had. Put it this way: if we had the 10 Frank defense last year, do you think that we would have more victories?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just got through with Miami with the 10th ranked defense. Now, if you're talking about, I had a wish list of free agents. One of them was Christian Watkins. I don't know if you guys know who that is. Wilkins, yeah, Christian Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the Dolphins. And yeah, they also have a defensive end, the edge rusher, Van Ginkle.
He came from Clemson.
Van Ginkle.
Is Christian Wilkins the DT out of Clemson, Gale?
Yeah, he's the guy with the finger who
assaulted
one of the players on the ground. Also from Connecticut.
Awkward, but that is awkward.
We know how you people in Connecticut get down.
Yeah, you know.
Connecticut, Gale?
Yeah, in London, Connecticut. Wilkins, yeah, I mean, I liked him coming out of college. But I do think when you talk about Van Ginkle, his ability with injuries that happened, they kind of was his Fangio's chess piece. So he was playing interior linebacker and also, you know, played on the edge. So I think he had what, a pick?
Pick six. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Jackson and Jose Joel, who's a middle linebacker, who we could get pretty decently and who are not long into. Eddie Jackson is a little longer too, but they released him. But he also played in
Fangio's
system. Yeah. So he's probably going to get, I feel like he's going to get one or two guys who could be the quarterback, because we looked like we were playing Keystone Cops defensively sometimes. And the fact, I don't know. It was horrible. And you guys watched it with me. I love Isaiah Rodgers too.
Yeah, I watched the interview with Isaiah Rodgers. He kind of like basically didn't want to hide from the fact of, you know, the conversation that needed to be had about, like, you know, he said now that it's a thing that people like do all the time. He didn't want to have his character assassinated, but he actually spoke on it for about 20 minutes about the situation. But he said he's hungry. He said that Eagle fans have already been hitting his DMs. He said it is true. Eagle fans are different. He said he's well aware that Eagle fans they act different. He's like living in Indianapolis. He's like, I like it. It's cool. You know, there's nothing to do there. So it's really about business. It's just football. But I feel like it's different. Going to be different in Philly.
Definitely. And I see a lot of people speaking a corner, just talking about Avante Maddox, man. Is it me or is he like one of the guys that like this defense looks completely different once Avante goes down every year? Avante is like low key one of those glue guys, man, that is holding this shit together.
We just can't get a full
count on him. You can't count on him. Accountability, man. It's like I love the way he plays. He plays tenacious defense, but you always got to have a backup plan with him. And you know, it's like damn. It was like when he came back, got hurt again. Came back, got hurt again. It's like he just keep popping tires. I'm like, damn. And you love the kid because he plays with all his heart, and he plays to the fullest every time he's out there. He just can't stay healthy. And it's different. It's not high school and it's not college. It's a business, and you only get, you know, you only get have so many people alive. And then if one go down, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
And the fall off is tremendous too, especially because he gets all the first team reps. So,
you guys want to hear the numbers on that? If they move on from Avante, a post June 1st cut, this is via over the cap, you would save 7.1 mil. Dead money you'd eat is 2.5. This is a post cut. Post June 1st cut for Avante. If you extended him, cap savings would be 4.7 mil. And then if you, the other one was, if you gave him a restructure, it would be like about 4.4 mil. But he has to kind of give, I think they could talk to him like, hey, this is where we're at. This is our out number. Can you come down? Can you come off it? Or, because this is the year for slot corners. There should be a lot of slot corners available this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something in the draft too, but you kind of want somebody who's a proven entity. But then with him being the proven entity, he's got that always get hurt when you need him thing, and that's going to kill every time. It's going to rear his ugly head. That's kind of like when I'm arguing with somebody, and he's like, he's not trash. He said he's great when he's not hurt. I was like, say it again, when he's not hurt.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. The only year he played 16 games was 2021. Everything else was 13 games or less. So he definitely misses significant time every year.
Well, when they decided to go ahead and actually have that talk with him, man, I think he has to be more reasonable because of the fact that, you know, he gets hurt and they're holding on to him. And don't get me wrong, man, when he's there, he definitely is, you know, a big piece of that puzzle that brings that puzzle together. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Maddox, but if he's talking, you know what I mean, some big daddy crazy money, yeah, I just don't see it happening, man.
I remember so, when the world went crazy.
Go so flipping over to the other side of the ball, Devontae Smith, we're getting near that that extension time. So what's your guys' thoughts on that? Is that going to be – do you think that this is going to be a painful process, like how everything else feels like a painful process, or is going to set him as a priority and make sure that Devontae gets the money he deserves?
You're right, bro. I mean, this is the scary part to see if it's going to be a process, but it should not be, man. I mean, the kid has done more than he needed to go ahead and prove that, you know, he is the man on this team. He is big. He is a big part of this squad. And, you know, for you not to go ahead and to accommodate to what that kid deserves. Nah, man, I think they need to put all that BS in the past and keep it in the past and, you know, and start fresh with this kid and realize that, you know, he definitely deserves every single penny, dime, quarter, whatever in his contract.
When you talk about reliability, man, I mean, like, he is the most, in my opinion,
the most reliable.
He's the most reliable wide receiver we have. He shows up continually each and every week. That's the guy you pay.
I think he's missed one game in the entire time he's been. Yeah. It's like when you look at him, too, it's like I think they pick up the fifth-year option and then work out a nice deal for him.
He's another one that has a great attitude about this whole situation.
Oh yeah, he knows.
Can't you extend him now and then spread that money out so the cap hit isn't as much though, or is that fifth year option still apply for this year?
Well, you pick up the fifth year option because that's the they put the fifth year option in place for the people who are drafting the top 10. Yeah, well, I think it may be the top ten.
No, it's the first round.
It's the whole first round.
Yeah.
So they put that in place because they're giving up like a year. Used to they were giving up a year of free agency. Because it's like so teams used to just sign them to like a big long 8-year deal or something, and you know, they miss free agency, but that's why they were called bonus babies. But the way that they're doing it now, he's gonna make if they pick up the fifth year option, he'll make $15 million. And it'll give them time to his cap hit will be 15-some-odd million, and it'll give them time to up the ante. But I would try to do it early because the Slim Reaper is healthy often, and he's a playmaker
and he's productive.
Yeah, and so as the production goes up, so does the price. The longer you wait,
yesterday's price is not today's price.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was yesterday what I was asking for. Today I'm asking for this.
He wants to be here, man.
After a 10-catch, 2-touchdown game, the price is going up.
Did you guys see, speaking of wide receivers, Peter King? He's retiring, but he had some words about A.J. Brown, about him disappearing at the end of the season. But I feel like at the end of the season, he was either double-teamed. He did get hurt at the end of the season, but he was either double-teamed. And we had no answer for A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
I think everyone had a down, I say, last quarter of the season, even the coaches and the fan base, we all went through it. So Peter King, I think he misspoke. Yeah, you're a legend, but I think he most misspoke on AJ.
Peter is king, but sometimes he'd be just talking random stuff. The thing that I think that a lot of us was missing, and when I went back and looked at some of the tape is, and you look at it, when you don't know an offensive defense coordinator, they surprised the shit out of you. And so those first 10, 11 games we won, at first, that was because the talent level which we had. But then once they got it on tape and they noticed that they were not going to change at all, everybody just took it and ran with it. Everybody did the same thing to us. After they got the formula to beat us down, everybody took that same formula. And it seemed like our big guys in the middle disappeared, but it wasn't that. It was like they were running the same zone play where they would run a double team on the big guys. And the linebackers, we didn't have any linebackers that knew to hit the gap to get the double team off your big guy, and they would move the ball, move it up. It's called a rub double, and they would get the linebacker, and then now they got 5 or 6 yards, and they on a and hell blanket. What you want to call blanket ship?
There's a milk missile.
Oh God. It's still bad every time you say it. But he led the team in tackles. Your safety's not supposed to lead a damn team in tackles. It's supposed to be your line, one of your linebackers, and somebody up front. Yeah. As I so, I think the fact that the coaches were playing checkers and everybody else was playing chess, guys, that kind of hurt the guys, all the guys in general. Because it may cause some dissension in the rank as far as like, dude, I just can't wait for this to be over.
I really feel that when that "Where Are They Now" episode comes out with Brian, they're gonna finally admit the fact that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. It's just that simple. I mean, when you see that spot and you see how good we look on paper, but actually on the field as well, and not to be able to put a game plan. Like, I agree with you, man. And once that formula got out there, you would think to go ahead and come up with a different strategy to work around that formula. But no, you just kept on giving it and giving it, giving it. So that's why I know for a fact those two did not know what the fuck they were doing.
No, they always say if you're thinking, you're stinking. And those guys, you could see them out there thinking.
Guys, they were Max Blissing us, and we didn't have any side adjusts. We didn't have any hot routes. I was like, and we went through the entire second half of the season with the same, and everybody was talking about something. He's holding the ball too long. No, if you go back and you look at, nobody's turned around. They run either a deep route or a deep curl, and nobody's turned around, and they said to everybody, including the kitchen sink. So, and then we did nothing to counterattack. I was so pissed, dude.
That dude, thinking about the watching games at that second half of the season, especially that playoff game, man. Like
32-9.
The thought of, like, you know, we prepared all week, and that's the best that we came up with,
dude.
For Baker Mayfield,
dude. When we came out offensively and went spread, I was like, ain't this a bitch? I looked at Bob. I was like, Bob. He said, yeah. I said, we probably gonna go pretty soon. They came out and spread. It's like we just beat this team. And we ran the ball down their throat. You get and then hey, Prime, tell me this: when you saw Swift carving them up a little bit, and then he did not get the ball until the middle of the fucking third quarter again. He had 10 touches the whole game.
Yeah, that's all I was just getting ready to say. I tortured myself, and I actually went back and I watched that game, man. There were moments that I was fast forwarding it just to see, like, you know, just to get through it. But I went and I sat there, and you're right, man. Like the crazy the routes these guys were running, not that whole time that everybody just kept on, like, including myself, like, what is up with Jalen? What is up with Jalen? But then you got to question yourself, like, shit, maybe it's not Jalen. I mean, you look at some of these receivers, they just weren't turning around. It was just like some backyard football that was going on. Like, all right, guys, just run the route. And if you're open, you're open. And are we open? And you're right. And then I go back to see how we were utilizing Swift in the very beginning, and it was working. And then you go into that second half, it was just like, damn, did we even have a running back on the squad? Like, what the hell?
And wait, the way that Devontae played,
right,
given the situation in that game,
yeah, he did.
I was like, pay him today.
Yeah.
Because he wants to play.
The funniest thing is when you went back and watched. Next time if you want some real punishment, watch the DBs for the opposing team literally running our routes for us. That go back and look at that Seattle game. That dude knew we play action fake. The safety knew. He went right to AJ Brown. I was like, you got to be shitting me. When you go back and look at it, it's demoralizing, because at what point do you realize that everybody knows what you're doing? At what point do you realize that they know the formula to beat you? It's like, and then defensively, we were just sitting there. We didn't run any type of slants, any type of ISO stunts. It's like, I'll show you guys what those are, but those are some stunts. When they're running that crap against you, you put their offensive line have to do more work than they want to do. And as if you make them suckers move like we're supposed to do, they get tireder, And then not only that, your pass rush comes home a lot better. But if you just sit there and let them lean on you the entire game, it's going to make for a long day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Todd says, I get a sense the longer Kelce takes to make his decision, the more likely he's returning. Howie and his pressers talked about giving the veterans time about, you know, making the decision and doing what's right. He did kind of make mention of seeing said players as Kelce, mm-hmm. Graham, and Cox mm-hmm. in different uniforms. We can all think about Brian Dawkins in a Broncos uniform, or Reggie White in a Packers uniform. Or how about this, Hollis Thomas in a Panthers uniform, in a Saints uniform?
The funniest thing is when you said the Saints thing, like literally everybody, I was like the whole time, the second half of my career playing in Philly, I lived in Houston. And so some of the people was like, dude, it just looked fun. It just don't seem right, but you're not wearing that green. It's like, and it was people that were Dallas fans that knew me from Houston. It's like, you just don't, the black and gold is not, it's just not you. And I tried to make it work. It was cool for a few years, you know, but it's like one of those things where you really realize it's a business. And I think the weirdest thing is when, as a player, especially when you first come out of college, you feel that camaraderie and stuff, but then something happens where it's like you injury or something, and then you're just like an afterthought. And then it's like, You slowly realize that this is business, and they can say all the love and stuff that they want, but in the end, they're going to do what's best for them and the team. It's like, and they'll still say they love you and stuff. They say they may not, but you know, they say it's business, not personal. So
let me ask you a question, Hollis, because you are, you know, you tell it how it is, man. You tell it straightforward. Mm-hmm. Should Nick Sirianni be the head coach of this team still?
Oh, he's.
Juggling. Yeah. Okay. That's only one reason why. If he came back and he tried to fight for the assistant coaches, then he should have been the same way
that Doug did.
Well, yeah, Doug, he told me he wouldn't have to get fired because he wanted to fight for his coaches and stuff. It's like, but if your coaches are not getting it done, I was like, you got to get rid of them. And the other part too is he didn't hire that coaching staff. That's the other reason why too. And it's like, you know, you may have to break in a whole new guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now if he came in talking about fighting for those two yahoos to stay here, then you fired the shit out of him. You tell him, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Now the fact that he knows when you listen to him, know that he knows that he needs to change. There needs to be a change. That's the part where I was cool with him staying. And I was like, I knew he wasn't going to get fired. I knew he wasn't going to go in there because you could see his distress, because everybody's like, well, why is he? He can't be on the offensive side. He can't stay on the defensive side. He's the head coach. He's a general. He needs to be doing everything. What if he goes on the offense? He's over there with the offense trying to make offensive corrections while the defense is on the field. The defense is looking for like a timeout or to challenge a play. It's like you have to have somebody that's a general, and I feel like he's the perfect guy for that role, especially the way that they do things. Hmm. Yes, Pete. We do need a linebacker.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
We'll get some. I will definitely probably get some via free agency because you know they ain't drafting the linebackers high.
Yeah. It, you know, the one thing it's and I hope that if somebody said it in the comments about how he learned it from last year's transgression, our linebackers were abysmal. They were horrible, dude. And somebody's like, yeah, well, I like Zach and the other guys like, yeah, they were getting toasted. When people were catching across the middle, they weren't making tackles. I want them to fear us across the middle.
Jay's got some prospects down here. Edwin Cooper, Peyton Willis, Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Saw him down at the Senior Bowl.
Was he good? Was Cedric Gray good?
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad in space because that was one thing I was looking at in space. I do want to see Junior Colson from Michigan. I think size 6'3". Like, I mean, the whole idea of Trotter would be nice, but he's sort of in the same ilk of the Kobe Dean, probably a better prospect than
Dean. He's 6'2", 230. And then mm-hmm. the one thing about Trotter Jr. is he does it all. He blitzes. Being a bit of his uncle, you know, you know how you want to see your guys do great. I think he's a great linebacker, a great prospect. A lot of people thought that he had a knee injury, and Van Grinkle and Von Noy would be great additions. But Van Grinkle, But if you look at it, there's like one, two, three. There's like four linebackers that are on the market who are still young, and who you can get on a nice deal. Like, what did you guys like the kid Dotson from the Bills? He had to step in at the end of the season because the main guy got hurt, and he was killing. He stepped up. Mm-hmm. Also, to do the kid Tranquil from the Chiefs. I like the. I'm talking about. I don't know. Are you guys tired of?
Where's Cashman from the Jets?
What about a reunion? Mr. Jordan Hicks come back to Philadelphia.
Yes, I don't like Jordan Hicks in space though. That's what I was about to ask you guys. Aren't you tired of seeing
Kaiser White
across the middle over? But that's who Tranquil reminds you of.
Kaiser Soucy, man. Yeah, you can't go wrong, Kaiser Soucy.
Yeah, but Tranquil, he reminds you because they're white. He's on that same level of pass coverage. And what's called him?
You said that because I traded for Hicks the other night on Matt.
the Patrick Queen talk, market value was 18
yeah.
mil?
Yeah.
18 mil? Come on. I don't, 18 I don't know. Plus.
Devin White?
I like and Levante David, too. David is long in the tooth, and he might cost less. But it's also, do you guys know Frankie? LeVou. He's a tackling machine. And the guy I mentioned earlier, Josie Jewell. Josie Jewell is a young cat. But it's like I feel like we need to make that type of splash a little bit so that if we grab a linebacker, like in the second or the third round, if Trot's still there, it would be lovely to have him here. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of our special teams giving up shit, and we need some special teams linebackers and some guys who can step in and take up the slack when one guy goes down. It's like we have to build, get the young guys in there, and like they said, they got to start developing them a little bit better.
Now, Jay asks, has anyone seen Johnny Wilson 6'7"? He was on the Senior Bowl.
How did Gail's voice turn into a keyboard?
IDK. Did you mute him?
I didn't mute him at all. Bro was moving his mouth, and I heard the keys typing. I didn't know how he was doing that.
I thought Prime did that.
No, I didn't do that.
I said, no, because when he went off, he was hitting something. I was like, oh, okay.
But Johnny Wilson, 6'7", from FSU. It's very shifty. I mean, he's nimble for his size, but I think I wanted to see more. Keon Coleman,
right,
was when I started watching him, I was like, bro, he's pretty explosive, but got to see more of him. But there was Johnny Wilson was, I don't know if he was in his head on the sidelines or he was down on himself. And then I didn't see him for a couple. He took himself out of some plays. So he's got to redeem himself at the combine.
Okay.
But,
I had no idea it was in 2 days, bro.
2 days, dude. Yeah, I thought it was
like a mid late March thing. I realized like a week ago, 2 weeks ago that it was.
Would you guys ever go to the combine?
Maybe. I don't know.
If I
figure out a new work situation.
Down at the Senior Bowl, I ran into the guy that does the 40. He does the 40 at the combine. That dude's a legend. Yeah, he always does it every year. Steelers coach. Flexing the Super Bowl ring. He's like, can I get a photo? He's like, yeah, let me get my Super Bowl ring. But yeah, dude, I'm excited for the 40s. I'm interested in, Dad says, Ricky Pierce. So we interviewed him down a Florida wide receiver mid round. I think he might push his way into the back end of the second. Very shifty. Very go check his catch against, I believe, Charlotte. One handed jammy. Probably the best catch of the year.
Wow. You already got people hating. Tease out.
Hey, he put in work at the Senior Bowl. I just want to tell you that Pearsall that he was routing people up. Him and McConkey were routing people up, and Roman Wilson from Michigan. So, all right, I'm seeing Quinyon Mitchell, from Toledo. He's now number 15 on Daniel Jeremiah's board. How are we feeling about cornerback? Finally, in the first round, the Lito Shepherd drought could be over. Would you guys be?
I'm open to it. I'm also realistic. And how we build through the trenches in the first round.
Can I ask you guys a question? Yeah. Mark is talking about what if Brian Thomas Jr. is available out of LSU?
I think with all the wide receivers that you got in the tank in this draft, I think you can wait.
But you wouldn't take him? Because this is what my thing was. This is like, follow me. In the second round, you could get TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, 6'2", 200 pounds, and he's a beast. But in the first round, getting Brian Thomas, we don't have the game changer.
Jared Verse is where I'm looking. I've been from Florida State. Have you watched him yet?
Not really. I kind of got stuck on Brian Thomas because I know the receiver coach over there, and LSU receivers be putting in work. And the thing I'm talking about is we didn't have that guy when he came on the field, everybody was put on notice because once they double teamed our two outside guys, and then we didn't have Dallas Goedert for a little bit, and they bracketed him. It's like somebody said, "How you do that? How do you double team?" That's like. You put 6 DBs out there. That's like you don't have that game changing guy. Like we didn't have like the Darnell Mooney or the Tyler Boyd or the what was number 11 for the Buffalo Bills that ran the punt back. That's like we got Covey, fair catcher machine. We don't have anybody that when he comes on the field is like okay. Case in point, when you on the field and you saw somebody, they brought out like the fastest guy on the squad. We had to pay attention, even if he was just bells and whistles. We had to pay attention because he had the ability to go take it to the house. Like you didn't want to get caught up. Go ahead.
In all fairness, I think that the Eagles did attempt to do that in acquiring Julio Jones midway through the year. I mean, he was obviously a shell of his former self, but I think that was their goal, is to step up the wide receiver 3 with Julio. Just didn't work out.
But when he come on the field, he's like old and like,
well, you got to get younger.
He don't still had a blazing like 4.3 speed that he, you know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
My wide receiver 3 has to take jet sweeps. He has to be a reliable. I don't want this just a vertical one trick pony. Because in this draft, you could get a guy that's great at the catch point.
Right.
Can run a jet sweep.
Right.
Can run routes.
Can block.
That's not hard. That's not hard to do. I mean, like we gambled on Quez Watkins and we lost 2 years in a row. Like we could have upgraded
3 years. We just been losing every since. And they, every time if they throw him another damn wide receiver screen,
you guys see Malachi Corbin from Western Kentucky yet? Got a little yak game to him. Like a wide receiver 3 should have some that juice to him. Yak.
But that's what I was saying. It's like we don't have that. It's like we got so many game changers in there. We don't have that guy to be able to be like a bit of a decoy at times. So we can get some other, like say we got that guy who's fast and he's running that jet sweep. We hand the ball off to Swift up there, and the guy is staying at home. So now you have a giant cutback lane, and you got a big play. It's like or you run them on the deep route, and underneath is all clear because everybody's going back there to mess with them. Because we don't have that extra guy like that. We got a one and we got a two receiver. We got a good tight end. We got a great running back. We got a good offensive line. We don't have that game changer in there that's going to be that other chess piece. That's the best way to describe it. We was playing checkers for so damn long. Like it's like when they was running the stuff that Andy was running in the Super Bowl. We don't have that guy that does that. We don't have a Skylar Moore.
Tim says, keep a lookout for Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown, Kellen Moore disciples. Cedric Wilson was with Tampa this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Was he with Tampa? Okay, yeah.
And then Noah Brown. Yeah. The Cowboys think. Cowboys think.
Dallas sucks.
Now, the Mark Bird will bring up JPJ. He's an Oregon fan, but like this whole idea of bringing in a lineman, which Ev will say, don't ever say sexy pick around me again. it's not a sexy pick, but I think, bro, I mean, he can step in, play guard. He'll start, be your right guard.
What about the OT out of Oklahoma?
He's scheduled a visit with the Eagles. I'm going to give this one to Tim. He said he ran into him at a restaurant 2 weeks ago. He said, I remembered you from the Senior Bowl. It's hard talking about it. He said, Tim goes, hey, you're going to be a future Eagle. He said, no, future Cowboy. He said, but if I got drafted by the Eagles, I would be – I'm like, he is Lane's protege, though.
Mark him off my list.
Mark, you throw that damn paper away.
I know, mark him off my list. Hey, what about anybody know about Curl out of the Commanders, the safety?
Cam Curl.
Yeah, Cam Curl.
Yeah. I mean, he's interesting. He's probably gonna get if he's overpaid. I mean, he's gonna probably get his worth.
And Jeremy Chinn.
Jeremy Chinn would be interesting.
I would fuck with Jeremy Chinn for sure. Yeah.
That's right. That was like some of the guys where I was thinking about on my free agent wish list. One of the other ones was Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, I've heard about
Darnell Mooney. I think he's being misused down there too.
Yeah, he would be that game changer that we were looking for, who could actually catch.
don't tell Prime, but his favorite punt returner from the Canes is out there on the streets right now.
BB-8?
Braxton Berrios.
Hey, listen, man, I'm telling you, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't want to go as far as saying it would be a step up from Covey, but BB-8.
He's nice. He got juice. Yeah. He definitely got some juice.
I'll take BB-8.
Let's see. I mean, are you guys watching the combine?
I'm going to try to.
No, yeah, most definitely. I'll be watching.
I mean, that way I could at least be up to par on my notes with you guys in your places. I'm gonna try.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting interesting. I mean, we're coming down to the wire. Off season is off with a bang. I think this will square some things. Seeing some of these prospects run, figure some things out, get some interviews under their belts. But I wanted to talk about the Brazilian trip. Shout out to Vince and Philly Sports Chips.
Yeah,
if you want to put your deposit in, you can go ahead and do so. We have people booking slowly but surely. So if you want to be one of those guys, I don't know if you want to sit next to Hollis on a plane for how many hours.
I spoke with Vince today. He's going down there to procure some things. He's thinking about doing a charter. So I think I think the straight through flight is maybe 10 hours, something like that.
Yo, Vince hits me. He's like, hey man, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, what? He's like, do you want to go to Brazil? I'm like, what?
What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, he said they're taking the people down to spring training. Him and Bob Cavanaugh, and then Vince is gonna go from spring training to Brazil.
Nice. I was like, yeah, get your passports ready. Get your passports
and visas.
Visas
as well. They're doing something weird over there. I don't think they like getting money.
Look at Prime's face. He's like, Brazil.
Can't talk about it. Can't talk about it.
Okay.
Man. But
I got a quick question for everybody. What do you guys think about some of the guys coming to the combine and not working out?
I hate it. I hate it, dude.
Do you?
Yeah, dude. Like it's I'm already a top tier guy. I don't need to prove myself.
Well, what Deion Sanders showed up, ran 40, and bounced.
That's doing something,
also prime time. Like Caleb Williams is a guy that, like, dude, I follow USC. I'm a Caleb Williams guy. I like him. I think it's pathetic that he's not performing in the combine. I mean, that USC team completely collapsed at the end of the year. I know that he's highly touted, but I would want to see.
So it's a competition thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would compete. I mean, it's the same thing with some of these bowl games. Do you sit out your last game or you play?
I'm more understanding of that than the combine.
Sat there and I watched was the one that DK Metcalf was in. Now, remember, that dude was being like a lot of people doubted him because of his field problems and his attitude and all that stuff.
Lack of a route tree, apparently.
Right. But that kid. He didn't catch every single ball that was thrown at him at that combine, but the effort he was putting in, and I mean, look at him now. The shit is history. He's one of the top wide receivers in the league. Like, that says a lot. So I would love to see another DK Metcalf in the
combine. Not only that, Prime, it's like when you listen to scouts, like the quarterbacks that go and throw, they do themselves a great service because you're not gonna know your new team. You're not gonna know those guys, and you're gonna have to get on the same page with them. They want to see how quickly that you can adapt to the guys around you. That's another mental thing as well. It's like you don't want to perform. You don't want to compete. It's like you should always want to compete. That pisses me off to no end. What the hell are you coming for?
You know, if I'm a coach, I'm asking them. You know, you lost to Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
You are USC. You lost to Tulane. I heard that Caleb Williams and the boys, USC boys, are partying the night before the bowl game. Then got smoked by Tulane. Now you come here to the combine. You don't want to throw.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. Like, you know, you don't feel like you have to. You know, I don't know if his agent is in his ear telling him the chatter. I don't think it hurt. How can it hurt you? We all know you're not throwing to your own receivers, but
yeah, but it's to what you just said, it's like you come up here. What are you coming for? It's like this is a thing where you compete, and then it's like I'm gonna have a pro day. Do you know what a pro day? This is how and I learned this from Joe Douglas. He's like you got to have people that love football. It's like football players love to compete, no matter where it is. You're going to show what you can do, and he said. The thing that he told me was between your combine and your pro day is like some guys, when they get to their pro day is your day because you've choreographed everything. And then if you come there fat, out of shape, and can't do the pro day, then it tells them a lot about you, whether how high they or if they would draft you. It's like
Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
So Gail, you just mentioned that you get it. He's not throwing to his receivers. But wouldn't you want to take that into observation, seeing that he can throw to anybody?
I would, yeah. I want to see that.
I would want to see that kid throw in the combine to see that this might be a receiver that might join you in Chicago.
Yeah. How about the fact that, like, I mean, you're going from college to the NFL. So, it's not your wide receivers you're throwing to from college. But guess what? Once you get to the NFL – your college wide receivers aren't going to be there either.
Well, I'm saying, from a scripted standpoint, from the pro day, it's so scripted, and they have their players that they
through with in college, and yeah. That script, it looks pretty. So like if you're a Drake May and a Daniels, I think you have an opportunity to like fight for that second spot. And, yeah. And also, and it's money that you're if you get drafted second versus the fifth pick, that's millions of dollars. So that's enough for me to go to the damn combine and compete and be like, bro, this guy put on a show.
Yep. Meanwhile, you got Caleb Williams who don't even want to show up, and he's gonna lock in the first spot.
Diva.
Bullshit, bro. Diva. Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. He also grew up in Washington. Not too far from here.
D.C. or
Washington, D.C. Right? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. So it'll be interesting. Going back to since we're on the topic of wide receivers, did you all listen to A.J. Brown call into WIP?
Mm-hmm. I just heard about it. I thought it was hilarious because Howard Eskin actually called them on the same stuff like a couple of weeks before this, but tell me more.
I think he called in, and mm-hmm. I thought the vibe of it was he was there to check WIP for putting out false information and asking like, why do you guys keep doing this? And then, you know, Ike Reese, I felt like he put on a masterclass in terms of handling the situation. He said it's not us. But it's some people that might be from our station, but it's not us. But he talked about how Eagle fans and the city deals with this kind of information, that it spreads like wildfire on the timeline. You just have to understand that it'll always be Philadelphia, but it's no harm, no foul. But I do think he stood up for his team and kind of like he said, I'm the dude that stands up to the bully. I'm out here. This is who I am. So I respected it.
I respected it as well.
Yeah, it's the funniest part of it is like the WIP is supposed to be the flagship station for the Birds. So for you to be talking reckless like that, and not only reckless about that, but the Hassan Reddick thing, and not have any weight behind what you're putting out there, is stupid. I don't know, because it's like the guys who you want interviews from are going to start not doing any interviews. It's going to be hard for you to get players because they know you twist things up. It's just one of the things where when you see somebody and they're doing that type of stuff and they start, it's like, well, who told you that? Well, I can't reveal my sources. Really? And you want me to talk to you for what? Why would I talk to you now?
It's true. So,
Prime, what you think of it?
My bad, I was on mute. I listened to Reese, and I think he handled it very well. I mean, he set the story straight on his end as well. Like, but AJ, I mean, it was just funny listening to, because like he just told him straight up. He was like, look, man, I love playing in this city. I go out there and I give it my all and I do what I'm supposed to do. And then he killed it with the next question. Like, he just wanted to keep it moving. Like, and then, you know, like Ike, you could tell that Ike was like still trying to go down that path, but luckily, you know, I mean, he decided to change the script a little bit. And
it was, I think it was the Jack that came up with another question. He was like, nah, I'm not here for that.
Yeah, I'm not here for that.
So, I mean, like, it's just, it's crazy, but you know, I'm glad they ended up clearing all that shit. I mean, again, the sources at WIP, I don't know who they are. Nobody's ever going to know. I mean, we don't know right now, but
right.
Like, it's just ridiculous how they're just really turning this story. I really, truthfully, I'm not feeding into the shit. And hearing AJ just come out and just be straight up, like, letting everybody know he got no problem, he wants to be here, I'm good. I'm at peace.
That's all I need to hear. Yep.
It was Spike Eskin that went in earlier the day before about, like, you know, Eagle fans pay for your like car, your house, and I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Spike knows what he's doing. Like, he's like, yeah, let's put it in there. But you know, I think he spoke to that a little bit, and he's like, yo, that's not us. But
yeah. But if it's not you, then why you go through a production meeting every day? What the hell are you bringing that crap up for? You're supposed to be, it's like, you're supposed to tell the truth on the station, but you're the flagship station. You do their games all the time. If it, it's like if it's something that if it, that was true, then you report it. But you don't report the bullshit. I was like, and that's, I mean, I don't know. That's why we guys be lit. That's why when we play, we kind of leery of going on there and stuff and things. It's like, you know, and then and working there, it's like some people got to play the bad guy, but it'd be just over stupid stuff playing the bad guy. Not nothing to this magnitude.
Ratings are more important than truth, Hollis.
Yeah.
It's all about the ratings.
It's the funny part is when is when how somebody was just talking about when Spike was talking about his dad, not AJ. Yeah, he's like the funny part is Howard called them on them trying to doing clickbait. I call it clickbait. Yeah. It's like because you if you see a story, you be like, oh, I'm gonna, let me click on it, and then when you click on it, he's like, oh, really? And it's like he's like a blockbuster trade idea.
Yeah,
remember, just you have to pay attention to the headline because nobody's thought of the crap that they're thinking about. It's like, but they put it out there so it looks like that it's been talked about, but it really hasn't been.
Yeah.
They got bored that one day, like, hypothetical A.J. Brown trades.
I mean, Gail, you used to work for a we used to have to write articles talking about, you know, well, the draft and whatnot.
Like, the funny thing, when I was doing my mock draft and they would get so tight that we wouldn't put quarterbacks up high. So I was like, well, fuck it. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to the Vikings anyway, but they had, so I put them up with the Vikings and they got so many clicks off of my mock draft that they had to apologize because we were getting so many hate mail because I put Teddy Bridgewater to the Vikings. He ended up getting drafted anyway to the Vikings in the first round because they moved up to get him in the back end of the first. But I got death threats on that. But it was clickbaity, and I was like, bro, I don't want to do this. But they said, if it bleeds, it reads. So, I mean, I think in these days, day and age, the Chris Sims of the world, we have to, like, comment on Chris Sims bullshit.
I don't even comment on it anymore. He's got 12 touchdowns and 18 interceptions in his career. He's 79 all-time as a starter. He sucks ass. His name is not Phil Sims.
I just laugh every time I go back and watch the video of him trying to repeat Gruden in that huddle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was that Spider Y2 Banana or was it someone else?
That was
ace, tight, right, ref.
But yeah, when you have guys like that who getting their full hate on, it's kind of funny because you see – now, Dan Ostrowski, David Carr, like all those guys that will be talking, who just be talking. David Carr's record is 23-56. Dan Ostrowski's record is 3-26, or 3-23. Sorry, he was the starting quarterback on the 0-16 Lions. So just think about
that. Dan Orlovsky?
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Carr's record is,
you know, his teammates in the chat actually.
Yeah. It's like you. And I met Ryan Clark. He's asked me about Super Bowl. I met him, and I was asking him about. He's like, "Dan watches film." I was like, "So does a blind monkey." What the fuck does that mean? Because he's watching film. I was like, "So I'm supposed to listen to him when he couldn't do it right when he was playing." It's kind of like listening to the Tony Romo. Did you guys listen to the Super Bowl and how he messed up at the end of the game? Yeah. He really ruined it.
Yeah,
ruined the moment.
He ruined it really badly. He went on a he started pontificating on something that didn't even matter. The game was won by the Chiefs, and you're supposed to let us soak in the crowd. Yeah, let us soak in the crowd. He talked over the entire crowd cheer.
Yeah,
I know. And then when they cut back to him, Jim Nance was looking at him like, really, really, really.
Jim Nance is always clutching his pearls, man.
But on that one, he was supposed to.
Before we get out, I want to give a shout out to Bud Light for holding us down to the tailgates all these years. Shout out to
Red Bull
Concha Hawk Italian Bakery. If you want to get a tomato pie or any baked goods, check them out. Tina is a saint. And shout out to Red Bull, Evan's favorite morning drink,
the number one energy drink in America. Red Bull. Psych.
Well, this guy.
How do you think I got through the show?
Too old to be drinking Red Bulls, man.
No, really? Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. Man. I'm right there with you, man.
I was going to say, I wasn't gonna bring it up.
I got cases. I got cases.
You have the sugar free?
I got sugar free. You want some sugar free ones?
Damn, Skippy.
All right. I'll get you a case, and Evan, you can get yours. I think Autumn's a big
Yeah, Autumn is.
She drinks the sugar free or regular?
The sugar free.
Somebody Prime, said Red Prime drinks is liquefied Starbursts.
Red Bull and Crown.
Yeah, you get them Skittle drinks. What was this?
Well, no, if you put the Jolly Ranchers in there in the liquor, it'll make it quicker.
Mm. All right.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Last word before we get out of here, we'll start with you, Hollis.
Thanks for having me back, man. I've been on the grind. I'm looking.
You guys, Super Bowl party?
I was out at a Super Bowl party in Vegas. Me and Irv was out there. Me, Irv. I don't know if you guys remember Matt McCoy. I called him Mutt.
Linebacker,
San Jose State. Fresno State. And then also was out there with T.O. Donovan. Not together. Prime. And Marshall Faulk, and then was out there. Man, have you guys seen Frank Gore? Yeah, he's living large.
What happened?
No, he's a big homie. Yeah, he's a big homie. And then you know, it was a bunch of 49ers fans out there. But I had a great time in Vegas. I think when they have it in Vegas again, even if our bird's not in there, you guys should go and take it in because the city was electric. It was they moved it around. And they built the one thing, I don't know if you got Kansas City. The Kansas City doesn't have public transportation to their stadium. The Vegas, they do. They have this monorail that goes around the whole strip, and it made it so much easier to get around. You can take that for like $6, and you can see the entire strip. I think that made it sweet. And I was at Chickie and Pete's. I was out there with Pete at Chickie and Pete's out there at the Sahara, and it was just a great time overall. But I wish my birds was there. There was some Birds fans out there strictly represented, but
you beat up the tables at all, or they beat you up?
No, I was out there pumping true fans, and we actually went to Radio Row with Tony Bruno, and we saw Chris Long and Fat Thor and Howie Long. I kicked it with my boy Howie. It was cool. And Taquio Spikes, Taquio Spikes. I was out. It was a real good time, dude.
Does he still not have a neck?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Oh, me?
I snatched.
No. Yeah, Takeo.
Takeo? Oh, yeah, he's a. Oh, man.
I did an interview with him at the Super Bowl Radio Row, and I was like, God damn, this guy's neck.
There's like, Mark, it's not just me who gives people names. As myself and Hugh Douglas, like Sam Brayburn, we called him Truck Driver because he was like the first bow-legged white guy that we've seen, and he was like 6'3", 300 pounds. So he was Truck Driver. And a lot of people don't know that we called Jeremiah Trotter Panty Man.
Why is that?
He always wore the Petty style underwear. So we just kind of look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's Petty Man. Penny Man. That was when Batman was out. We just called him Penny Man.
Would you call Penny Man? Take it with spikes?
Trot.
No, Trot.
Called a Penny Man.
Maybe you want to ask him that after in an interview. But Pete says Frank Gore, Jerry Rice, Jeremiah Trotter, Marvin Harrison, all their kids are in the draft.
Wow. Yeah. That's wow. Crazy, man.
That's crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm. But thank y'all for having me back. I'll be back pretty soon.
Glad to have you back, man.
Yeah. Primo, last word.
Enjoy the rest of y'all week, man. The combine said, just try to pay attention. Don't go off of what they're saying just for us to hear. We gotta see it for ourselves. So when that combine goes on, just try to look out there for that next great talent. I wish everybody, that's gonna be involved in the combine, good luck and stay safe and try to stay healthy and shine out there, man. The money's there, man, for you guys to go ahead and get it. At the end of the day, it's how much of a great show you put on. So other than that, go Birds.
I'm going to take my moment here to go a little bit off topic and just have a prayer real quick for my man, Joel Embiid. I miss you. I miss you, Joel. I miss you so much.
Before I forget, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't mean to cut you off. Happy birthday to my
little prayer.
My bad. Happy birthday to my mom, man. Happy birthday to my
Happy
mom.
Birthday. Happy birthday, mom. Happy birthday.
Mom turned 67 yesterday. God bless.
67.
She'll look a day over 48.
I know, man. My mom got some great skin. You know what I mean? So, big shout out to my mom. Love you. Happy birthday. Hope you enjoyed it. My bad, Evan. Back to you, pray.
No, it's all good. Happy birthday to your mom, of course. That's more important. Joel, come back. I miss you. Go Sixers.
you no love for Kyle Lowry?
Listen. What's actually funny? Kyle Lowry's mom came into my pizza shop one time. And she ended up – I ended up having a small conversation with her. And she's like, at the register checking out. And she's like, we had basketball. And she's like, my son plays in the league. I'm like, get out of here. Like, what's his name? And she goes, this is like 7-8 years ago. She goes, Kyle Lowry? I'm like, your son doesn't just play in the NBA. Like, your son's a star in the NBA. Like, you're really underselling this. So it's cool to have him, hometown guy. But, yeah. Dude, he's washed. Come on.
Dude, she asked his mom about the medicals.
Wow. It's another Julio Jones.
It's another Julio Jones moment.
Perfect time. Last word. Also, I did look up Matt McCoy did go to San Diego State.
I know.
Fresno guy.
San Diego State.
It's different.
It's a big difference. My bad.
Oh, we were
both wrong. I was wrong.
Because my nerd ass self, I remember I was watching the draft. I was like, Sam. But anyway, shout out to everyone in the comments. Appreciate you guys sticking along. Obviously, it's almost mock draft season. We'll start doing some of those for the nerds out there. you're talking about some of these mock 22s because it's potential that we do move up too. We do have a second round pick in the second two second rounders, a bunch of fives. We got a third round, no fourth.
Got four fifth round picks.
Yeah, so it'll be
interesting. The Bears gonna find a way to fuck it up again. I bet
the Bears. You know
they got a one and a nine, bro. How do you fuck that up?
Watch and see how they do.
And then honestly, they could move Fields and acquire even more.
It could be interesting. This combine is going to be interesting. The whole offseason, I think, will be interesting. I think most importantly for us, I think it's about these free agents that we bring into. That's going to be very interesting. See who we pay. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Go Birds!